Book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I upheld, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and the spirit to those who walk in it. I am God. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am God, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And from Psalm 96, oh, sing to God a new song. Sing to God all the earth. Sing to God. Bless God's name. Tell of the salvation from day to day. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before our God who is coming to judge the earth. And God will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with truth. That ends the readings.
May God's own spirit fill us with joy and imagination and hope as we ponder on these words from our texts. There's a wonderful story told by neurologist Oliver Sacks about a couple of his patients who shared an odd complaint. They were both slightly deaf women, but that wasn't really the source of the problem. They both had what Dr. Sacks called amazing auditory experiences. One night, the first had a vivid, nostalgic dream of her nearly forgotten childhood in Ireland. When she awoke from the dream, she continued to hear that lively Irish music about which she had dreamed. It was the middle of the night. She was puzzled. She checked all of the radios, but they were turned off. And yet, the music of her childhood played on. The second woman told her story, which began with her grating parsnips in her kitchen. Suddenly, she heard this succession of songs. She heard Easter Parade, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, and finally, Good Night, Sweet Jesus. She too assumed that she had left her radio turned on, but indeed she had not, and the music followed both of these women around. One of them had heard that a loose dental filling can sometimes transmit radio waves. I mean, sensible, but it was impossible because the music was never interrupted by commercials. This was, of course, the time before Pandora. The diagnosis then unfolded this way. Both suffered from a musical epilepsy called reminiscence, a condition that is the exact opposite of amnesia. It's a hypernesia, that is, always remembering and never forgetting, always remembering. It just won't leave you alone. Reminiscence. Now hold on to that story for a minute. Anand and I have been having a great time trying to dream up themes for our Advent promptings this year. We had all but settled on the Magnificat of Mary. She says, "My soul magnifies God because God has done wonderful things. But soon we realized that you really couldn't just talk about Mary's Magnificat without going both backwards and ahead. Backwards, the songs of liberation that arose from her faith tradition and ours, the songs of Moses and Miriam, the song of Hannah and the servant song that we read this morning. And then moving it forward, Jesus' proclamation in the synagogue, release of the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, the year of God's own jubilee, on and on. It seems to us then that there's this sort of catchy tune that plays through all of creation. And it's the kind of song that's meant to keep going round and round and round in our heads like an earworm, but in a good way. A happy hypernesia, not like the theme song to Gilligan's Island or It's a Small World. Oops, now you're going to start singing that. But God, like any successful composer, crafted this tune to be kept alive and sung from generation to generation, becoming new with each new singing. Isaiah heard it this way. Isaiah heard God saying, I have taken you by the hand and I keep you. I have given you as a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisons, those who sit in darkness. You see, these are the songs of God's movement, the justice movement of God. And people of faith have picked up these tunes and belted them out from the beginning. These songs are set in the very DNA of First Press. From Micah, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Or Amos, let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Or today's lesson, again, Isaiah's servant song, which was written at a time, a very difficult time of exile, with people of faith dispirited and very, very low on hope. They were demoralized by war and captivity, and they were cut off from their homes and their sacred traditions. And the people were just parched for hope. And God's response to them was this: a servant will come to you and will establish justice. It says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. And then what we hear in the text as it goes on is a description of what that justice will look like. It will be inclusive, the values of nonviolence and mercy and patience. Imagine what that must have sounded like, this song. It's texts like these that are earworms for the likes of the prophets. The psalmist, as he wrote about singing a new song for Hannah and Miriam, who sang songs of liberation for Mary and Jesus and more. Reminiscence, hypernesia. Well, we know about these songs too. We've heard these songs. These are the songs that have expressed the hopes and aspirations of social movements throughout history. It's hard to think of any movement that hasn't sung itself into being. The pulse and the rhythm of a song rises out of the spirit of the movement. And often it's the song that gives the movement its inspiration. We know how that works. When you hear the title of this movement song from the 19th century, the lips that touch liquor will never touch mine. Well, yes, you know that it was probably a drumbeat of the temperance movement, right? Which did accomplish the important work of defending families against drunken physical abuse. And do you recognize this one? Some of you look a little confused. Maybe you're not that old. How about this? As we come marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, 1,000 mill lofts gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses, for the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. Well, and then there's a movement song that we're all sure to recognize. Yes, we have stepped back into the 1960s and the nonviolent movement for peace. And then we hear this. We are launched by the civil rights movement, and we are always being summoned to be a part of that call to action for racial justice. Yes, we get movement songs, and so did the Hebrew prophets, and so did Mary as she sang her Magnificat upon the announcement that she would bear a son who would lead God's movement. And so did the Son himself, so did Jesus, who entered his ministry absolutely saturated in the song. The very drumbeat of his movement was nourished by grace and with a hunger for justice. The psalmist sang it over and over again, dozens of times in the texts. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, this song itself might always not be a new one. Sometimes it's just new for us, or perhaps it's time for us to have a new take on an old song. Well, every year around Christmas time, Minnesota Public Radio does a pledge drive counting down the 893 most essential songs. This is station 89.3. The year that I listened, number 893 was I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackwaters, and it ended with number one by Prince, Purple Rain. Well, this raises the question, at least for me, what makes a song essential? If polled, I'm sure that we here could come up with our own 893 qualifications, or at least we could come up with dozens. But in the end, I think we might possibly agree that there is just one essential song. And we learned how to sing it for ourselves when first we learned to listen and to ask, as God might ask, what is it that our world needs? What new song? What new song of liberation and hope? What new vision? This is the song that unites us. This is the song that wakes us up. This is the song that will help us remain convinced that we and our world will make it, even in this horrible time in history, if we work it through together. Because that's what makes a movement a movement. Sing to God a new song. Sing to God all the earth. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. ended one of his sermons this way. He said, "Now let us rededicate ourselves to the long and bitter but beautiful struggle for a new world. This is the calling of the children of God, and our brothers and sisters wait eagerly for us to respond. Shall we say that the odds are too great? Shall we tell them the struggle is too hard? Will our message be that the forces of American life militate against their arrival as full men and women, and we send our deepest regrets? Or will there be a different message of longing, of hope, of solidarity with the yearnings of commitment to their cause, whatever the cost? The choice is ours. God grant that we will be participants in this newness and this magnificent development. If we will but do it, we will bring about a new day of justice and brotherhood and sisterhood and peace. And that day, the morning stars will sing together, and the children of God will shout for joy. And we shall overcome, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. It will be so. Prepare the way for Advent."